glad to be here ourselves, and it's wonderful to see you. And boy, we had a very nice time with Nelson and Viola this afternoon, and learning a little bit about the things that are ahead for them. Oof, there's a lot of travel. I can hardly imagine 16 hours on an aircraft. I hope they're big seats, because I know when we went to Israel, I felt like I was a sardine in a can. No leg room, nothing. Anyhow, the Lord bless you and enjoy your trip to that part of the vineyard. Well, tonight we're going to continue on, and I'd like to do two pieces. I want to do the lampstand, and I want to do the altar of incense, because I'm only coming this Wednesday and next Lord's Day, so I've got to really do put my skates on and do some fancy stick handling to get through all of this. And so I want to look tonight at the lampstand. And as well, I may as well pull out this. I trust I'll get through it. Now, afterwards, I might just say that will. What happened to my pointer?
You got it in your bag.
In my bag?
Remember, you picked it up and put it in your.
Okay, my bag's in the car. But anyhow. Heather, you have the keys. They're rare. Okay, Merv can get it. It's in the back seat. You what?
I've got another pointer for you.
Oh, you have another? Well, I wanted the pointer specifically for a reason.
Okay.
But let me see that one for a minute. I'm just...
Just the top button right here.
Okay, that'll do. All right. My pointer is in my bag. Thank you. But we'll use this one. Now, I had some friends up here who were looking, and they had the gloves on, and they were... These four little boys, I think there were four of them, were really quite interested in looking at these vessels, and they were interested in my pointer. So what I'd like to do is that tonight, when the meeting is over, we're going to show you the Shekinah glory. So we'll turn out all of the lights, and you can see it. Then I want my four little friends to come up here, and I'll give you the pointer, and you can do some pointing on the chart. You're not allowed to point at anyone, because it can be damaging to their eyes. Okay, so there's a deal, if I remember. So you got to remind me, all right? Good. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 31. Exodus 25 and 31. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its branches, now the Newberry Bible translates it simply, its branch, its bowls, its ornamental knobs and flowers shall be of one piece, or its ornamental buds and flowers, or lilies, the Septuagint and the Vulgate say for flowers, lilies, shall be of one piece. And six branches shall come out of its side. And so you notice that in verse 31 it says, its branch, as the Newberry translates it. And then it says, and six branches shall come out of its side. three branches of the lampstand out of one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Three bowls shall be made or shaped like almond blossoms on one branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower, and three bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the six branches that come out of the lampstand. Notice the language. Six branches that come out of the lampstand. Really, the center shaft is the lampstand. We refer to the whole thing, but it refers to it as that central branch, and we're going to look at this as to the reason in just a moment. On the lampstand, let's see, where am I? Yeah, and verse 34. On the lampstand itself, four bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob or bud and flower or lily. And there shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the six branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. This was solid gold, folks, the whole thing. This is not solid gold, what I'm holding in my hand. You shall make several lamps for it, and shall arrange its lamps so they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. All right, let's look over, please, to verse number chapter 27 and verse 21. Chapter 27 and verse 21. Or verse 20, rather. And you shall command the children of Israel, chapter 27, 20, you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually or without interruption in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his son shall tend to it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statue forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. So you'll see where it was. It was there in the holy place, okay? And it was on the south side. All right, let's go over, please, to Leviticus chapter 24. The next book over, Genesis, Exodus, then Leviticus chapter 24, and we'll read in at verse number 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Leviticus 24, 1, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to make the lamp, it is again, I believe, singular in the Newberry, burn continually outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting. Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statue forever in your generation. She shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. And we'll go over to Numbers chapter 4, the next book over. And we'll read in at verse number 9. And Numbers 4 and 9, and they shall make a blue cloth and cover the lampstand of the light with its lamps, its wick trimmers, its trays, and all its vessels with which they service it. Then they shall put it with all its utensils in a covering of badger skins and put it on a carrying beam. So I'm not sure exactly, but and I don't know exactly whether this is what the base was made to look like. Do you remember what we read? And see that you make it according to the pattern which was shown you on the mount. And we don't have any idea how far each one of these branches extended, how much separation between each one. We don't know the size of the base according to the pattern which was shown you on the mount. But if it did have a base similar to this, I would think that there would have been this long beam with it cut out for this to fit inside so they could carry it through the wilderness on their journey from place to place. I'm not sure of that. You don't have to agree with me, but you can tell me what you think. Yes, David. Is it? On a carrying beam?
Well, I can't remember.
Yes, I remember seeing that on the art, yes.
But if you wanted to examine it, there are pictures.
Right, I should do that. Yes, thank you. Okay. Numbers chapter 8 and verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and say to him, When you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand. And Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses, so that the lamps that are here, these seven lamps, were to give light to the central shaft, which is the light, the lampstand. It would obviously seem that they could do some adjustments of the lampstand so that it would show up the center shaft, which is called literally the lampstand. Why is that? It's a picture of Christ, isn't it? The central shaft is the Lord Jesus. And you and I are the branches. So we'll look at that again. Now this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold from its shaft to its flowers with its hammered work. According to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. And I want you to go with me, please, to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. There's a couple of portions I want to look at here. There are many lessons to learn. Revelation chapter 4, and he says, this is the throne room of heaven. We're having a glimpse of heaven here. And it says in verse number 5 of Revelation 4, And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Back to chapter 1 of Revelation. And notice what he says in verse number 12. And this is the great vision that John had of the things that were and the things that are and the things which will come. And in verse number 12, he says, Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. And we have such a beautiful description of this one. And in the last expression of verse number 17, I am the first and the last. Now notice verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. My last portion is in Isaiah chapter 11. And I want you to look at this. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 1. Isaiah 11 and 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Of course, you remember that Jesse was David's father. David became the great king of Israel, and never a greater king than David in spite of his sin. And notice what he says, And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who is the branch but the Lord Jesus, who grew out of his roots? Notice what he says. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Sevenfold. Notice it says in verse number 2. The Spirit of the Lord, branch number 1, the center shaft. Out of that, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, a sevenfold lampstand. And when we turn to the sunny south, there we see our eyes focus on this beautiful, beautiful lampstand. It really is exquisite in its craftsmanship. It's perfectly symmetrical in its design. It's beautiful to look upon. It is the lampstand. Now notice that in the Holy of Holies is the worship of God. But in the holy place, it is the service of God. And that's where you and I fit in as believers in our Lord Jesus. Now you'll notice that in some translations it's called the candlestick. And it would seem that it is a faulty translation. In fact, A.W. Pink has suggested that it's a Romish perversion because there were no candles on this. They were lamps that were burning. The Hebrew word is menorah, which is a lampstand or a light bearer. Now, the Hanukkah menorah had 9 lamps. This has 7. It's the only lamp that was in the holy place. And it was on the south side of the holy place. In the Holy of Holies, where we have the Shekinah glory, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so when Aaron would go in on that Day of Atonement, there would be light for him to see in the presence of the One who is eternal light. In here it was the lampstand that gave glory to the table and to the golden altar and to the central shaft that speaks of Christ. Out here, of course, was natural light. And there is a beautiful threefold picture that we see here. It was made from a talent of gold. And there are various ideas as to a talent. Some have suggested 50 kilos, about 110 pounds. Others say around 75 pounds. And what is gold today? About $1,200 an ounce. So if you say it's 75 pounds or a little more, figure it out. This thing is worth a good chunk of change, is it not? But it was beaten or hammered work. And it conveys the idea of its solidity. It wasn't like the golden calf that they made when they were in the wilderness. And, Moses was up on the mount getting the plans for the tabernacle, the law, and all the dietary laws and the caring of animals and relationships and everything else. They fashioned a golden calf like the god Apius in Egypt that they had seen. And there they worshipped that. But this is solid. The golden calf was molded. There were 7 lamps that were burning with oil, and they burned continually from evening till morning. And remember what I said, that we see the 7 lamps as one lamp. And what a beautiful, beautiful picture. One main stem and 6 branches from it. Each branch had a bud, a flower, and an almond blossom, or the fruit. It was covered with a blue cloth, and then the badger skin was on top when they were going through the wilderness. Now you notice as well, there are no dimensions given to the lampstand. And it would suggest perhaps to us the limitlessness of its influence in your life and mine. It was to be made according to the pattern. Now remember, where was the lampstand? It was in the holy place. And so it was only for the priestly family. It was only for the believer in the Lord Jesus that we enjoy the glory and the beauty of the lampstand. You remember what Isaiah says, there is no beauty in him that they should desire him. But to those of us who know the Savior, we can say, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and friend. And the world sees absolutely nothing in the person of the Lord Jesus, do they? He's just a swear word. That's all He is to the world. But we see something different. In the table of showbread, as I've said, the substance of our fellowship, the one upon whom we feed, the lampstand, the power of our fellowship, light necessary for our individual paths, the altar of incense, the maintaining of our fellowship, and He's ever living to make intercession for you and me. What a wonderful thing to know that we have a man in the glory who's praying for you and praying for me at this very moment. Now, the lampstand is a picture of Christ, the believer's illuminator. But as well, we can see it as a picture of the church. Now, Let me just say that the lampstand does not picture the Lord Jesus as the light of the world. Many people will say that this is a picture of Christ, the light of the world. Did the world see the lampstand? No. When the traveling caravans were going by, could they see this beautiful lampstand? Remember where it was, in the holy place. This was all the way down. This is poetic justice we have here, in that it's curled, rolled up so you can see inside, but it should be all the way down. The veil that you see is not torn, but it's pinned back so that you can see inside, but you should consider it to be right across. So only as the priestly family would come in, and Aaron would tend to this every evening and every morning, only the priestly family saw it. The world did not see it. Even the nation of Israel did not see it. As I said, only the priestly family. So if we say that this is Christ, the light of the world, it doesn't fit the picture that we have and that's given to us in the Scripture. Jesus did say, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. But in John 9:5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Is he in the world today? After the cross and resurrection, he ascended to the Father's right hand. He's no longer in the world. You and I are to be illuminators, and if our gospel be hid, it is to hid to those who are perishing. We are to be the illuminators and the light shining in a dark world. You know, I always think of James Blackwood, a dear preacher that we remembered as young people, had shocking white hair, just not a gray hair in his head, just perfectly white and nice and wavy. And Heather says, I would like to go up and just rub my hands through his hair. It was so nice. Anyhow, I can remember him saying one time about the little girl who asked for the chorus, Jesus bids us shine. But she got the words a little mixed up, and she said, let's sing Jesus bids us shine with a poor queer light. And you want to know something, as believers, sometimes I think we're shining or not shining, and we're shining with a poor, queer light. Do others see Christ in you and in me? So the lampstand is hidden from the outside world and was only for the priestly family, a glorious type of Christ and his church. Remember that this is a pattern of things in heaven, Hebrews 9:23. And he is now in heaven where eternal light dwells. We have access into his presence as believers, and as believer priests, we can enjoy that communion with God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses or continually cleanses us from all sin. The world is in darkness. We're living in a night scene. And I don't know about you, but I feel the darkness encroaching and increasing all the time in this world, don't you? Just listen to the politics of the nations. They're totally bewildered and don't know what to do or how to handle anything anymore. It's pathetic. Look at the darkness. And we were driving through Stainer on Friday night. We had gone over to see a dear brother from the assembly in Barrie in the Creemore area outside of Collingwood. And our dear brother is going to be with the Lord. And as we were driving through Stainer, I never saw so many, not children, but adult or young people dressed as witches. I mean, the whole regalia. And I've never seen anything quite like that. And the stores, I've never seen anything like it. It's almost like Christmas, the way they had them all decorated, all with the most evil-looking and horrendous sorts of things. The darkness is encroaching, folks. And we need to be lights in this dark world. You remember Jesus could say, you are the light of the world. You know, where does the moon get its light from? reflected from the sun. And as we see that heavenly light, the moon provides a light, but its true source of light is the sun. The moon is simply reflecting the glory of the sun. And on a dark night, we can see the beautiful sun, moon rather. Sometimes that harvest moon, that fall moon, is so absolutely splendid, isn't it? But it doesn't have the brilliance of the sun. But you notice from time to time there's a lunar eclipse that takes place. And this is when the sun, the earth, and the moon are all in line with each other. And the earth coming in between the sun and the moon, what happens? Darkness. Darkness. And what do we see? That if we're not reflecting Christ, if we're not living as the children of light, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe, and walking in that light, the world is still engulfed in its darkness and in its sin. Remember, Jesus could say in Matthew 5, 14 and 15, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp, but put it under a basket. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. There's hardly any purpose of having a light if you're going to put a bushel basket over it. Who's going to enjoy the benefit? You're going to still stumble in darkness. And so he says, we need to be that city that sits set upon a hill. A city with its lights blaring, blazing, so that others around might see. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, my dear. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The time goes so fast. Verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of Christ, rather, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light, of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul could say the same thing or very familiar words in Philippians 2, 15 and 16. We need to look at these verses. Philippians 2, 15 and 16. What does he say? That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of, notice the language, of a crooked and perverse generation. I say if it was perverse and crooked when Paul was writing, I wonder what adjectives he would be using to describe the world today. He probably couldn't come up with one that would be enough to describe the evil that we see presently in our world. And among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Are we truly lights in this dark world? Jesus, the word of the Lord Jesus could say in John 1, 8 and 9, he, that is John the Baptizer, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lights every man coming into the world. And you know, the wonderful truth is when we came to Christ, we found him to be our light, the illuminator, and the one who is able to guide and direct. He alone is the giver of life and light, and he has given it to both of these to us. Now, light dispels the darkness. It overpowers it. If we turned out every light in the building and we struck a match and let it burn, everyone would see that little match burning. Because the darkness is unable to overpower it. The whole room is dark. One thing is here. And I could take that little candle, shall we say, perhaps it would burn longer than a match, and I could take that candle and I could walk out of this room without hitting one piece of furniture or banging into a closed door or anything else. Why? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He doesn't say that it's an LED light that shines so brightly all around, but your word is a lamp, a light. And what is it? Literally, a candle is the word. A candle just gives us one step at a time. So often we say, Lord, I just wish I knew the future. What's going to happen next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now? Where am I going to be doing? What? Blah, blah, blah. We don't need that, folks. We just need light for every step. And we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so I encourage you in that way. Now, what is the symbol of testimony today? Well, we read that in Revelation. It's the lampstands. And you remember, as we look at those lampstands, there's the figure of the 7 golden lampstands. And they were individual and they were local assemblies. The lampstands are the 7 churches. And that's prophetical. And we learn great prophecy from those 7 churches. But it's perennial. Just like the tulips you plant, they plant them in the fall and they come up in the spring and they'll keep on doing that year after year, won't they? Unless the squirrels get them. And as well, of course, it's very practical for each one of our lives. In John's day, those 7 churches existed. But today they are representative. And as you look, you see each one of the churches throughout history. It was beaten, hammered, it was solid, as I say. And you know, the dimensions are not given, just its weight, 1 talent, and how it was constructed. It reminds us of the fathomless greatness and majesty of our Lord Jesus, who is the creator and sustainer of all things. He is limitless in his value. He is priceless. And Paul could say in Colossians 2:9, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, all rule and authority. Aren't you glad you're complete in him? Aren't you glad you're joined to him? You notice its consistent proportion. I mentioned its symmetrical form, its workmanship, intense labor and skill, precision. And the pattern, the symmetry of the whole is in the mind of the workman, and God had all of us in his mind. Well, the pure gold reminds us, as I've said, of the deity of our Lord Jesus and his glorification, the perfection that we see in the Godhead. No acacia wood. Perfect deity, the whole thing. His divineness, his divinity. Now, you notice the central stem is called the shaft. It had 6 branches, 3 on each side. It's interesting, isn't it? There were 2 thieves and Jesus in the midst. And the central cross was reserved for the worst and the most notorious of criminals. And they put over his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Boy, that's an awful crime. He was the King of the Jews, whether they liked it or not. But they found no fault in him. Pilate did. He vacillated and allowed them to take and crucify the Lord of glory. But he died on that central cross. You know why? Because you're a wretch. You're a worm. And so am I. And he died for the worst of the worst in dying for sinners like you and me. He identifies himself with all of our evil and sin and wretchedness. But he was in the midst of the church where 2 or 3 are gathered together. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, I didn't bring it out this morning about the table and our fellowship. But I You know, he's in the midst of the church. I remember I was talking to a young fella many years ago. And he said to me, Jim, oh, you're one of the brethren. I said, aren't you? He said, no, I'm Baptist. I said, are you saved? He said, yes, I'm saved, Jim, you know that. Well, I said, then you're one of the brethren, because we're all brethren in Christ. You see, names divide the body. Where three are gathered together with the brethren, or the Anglican, or the Presbyterian, or the Baptist, or whoever. No, in my name, it's the name of Christ that unites. And what a name to be gathered to, that precious name. He's in the midst of the throne. And John saw the Lamb in the midst of the throne, Romans 5 and 6. And he is in the midst of his servants in heaven in Revelation 23, 2 and 3. So the central shaft speaks of Christ as our source of life. Now let me just say that the six branches are dependent upon him. And does six represent the number of perfection or completeness? No, it doesn't. But if you think of it for a moment, from that center shaft, as I said, the branches come. And they are dependent upon that central shaft. Now, six is the number of man. We were created on the sixth day. Stop and think of our 24-hour day. It's a multiple of six, is it not? We think of Goliath, of Nebuchadnezzar, of Antichrist. All have links to the number six. Suggesting incompleteness. And the world is looking for a man to unify this world and make it one world government. But it'll be a colossal failure because man is incomplete in himself. So only as we are joined to Christ are we to be complete in him. Now you notice that the branches derive their life and their nature and their beauty as their own through the central shaft. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now let me just, I've got to close this off. The lamps had to be trimmed. You know, if you've got oil lamps, and we have a couple at home too, and sometimes in the winter's night we turn out the lights and turn on the candles and turn up the lamps. And you know, sometimes you have to get the wick trimmers out. And you do a little trimming. And you know, if you go up to that lamp, you could almost hear it saying, don't clip, it hurts, I don't like it. But there's only one reason why you're doing the clipping and the cutting back is what? So it'll shine more brightly. And the wicks had to be trimmed on the lampstand. And he has to trim your wick once in a while. And he sure trims mine every once in a while too. Why? Because we're not burning clearly. Remember the little girl? Jesus bids us shine with a poor, queer light, and sometimes we are. So he needs to do a little clipping in our lives and cutting back in order that more and more the radiance of Christ might be seen and others might see the beauty of the Lord Jesus in you and me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful love and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's what he wants. That's what he needs from your life, from my life. But you know, this lampstand, it shed light on the table. And there it showed that beautiful one, revealing the person who is our sustenance and our satisfaction, the bread of life. It shone on the beautiful altar of incense, revealing the beauty of that little altar and the power of prayer. What a wonderful thing it is to come into his presence. But it shone on itself. They were all adjusted. So it showed up the central shaft to reveal its own beauty and its own glory. You know, David was so conscious of the need of spiritual light that he said, for you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness, and may he enlighten yours as well. For you will light my lamp. The Lord God will enlighten my darkness. It was on the sunny side. By the way, the sunny side, of course, speaks of warmth, doesn't it? And light and blessing. Sometimes I always have my devotions, usually in the summer, on my back deck. And as the sun's coming up. And in this time of the year, it's so pitch black, I have it in my living room. And I can see the sun rising and breaking the dawn. It's much later than it used to be, but you know, sometimes it's just beautiful. And I move my seat so I can get the light shining in on me because it's cheering and it's warming, is it not? And you know, it was on the south side. South in Hebrew means radiant. It means bright. And it was opposite the table, so its light would fill the entire holy place. All right, I think that's where I'm going to leave it right there. And with 2 minutes to go, we're not going to touch the golden altar this evening. You know, I know I take a lot of time on these vessels, but you can't do anything else. They're just so full of meaning. And but I do want to make a... If I could see the elders for 5 minutes after the meeting, I'd like to ask a question. All right, we're going to close in prayer. And... our meeting is over. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday at 8 p.m. in the will of the Lord. And we'll turn out the lights, and then my friends will come up and they can use this pointer, okay? So let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the blessings of this day and for the privilege we've had of considering these things from your word. We pray, Lord, to help us to be those who show forth the light of Christ in this world in which we live. We thank you that we know thee and we have our sins forgiven and we're assured of that. We pray for the Webers as they would travel. Just grant to them safety. May the angel of the Lord encamp round about them and deliver them and their Miriam and Elizabeth from danger, from harm, and from accident. And Lord, just keep them healthy while they are away in a different culture with different foods and so on. Lord, bring them back to us in safety. But use them while they are there in some little measure that others might see the very light of the Lord Jesus through them. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's turn out the lights. Somebody want to unplug the one behind the piano and turn off the spots?